Mark 9:31b, the Son of Man is betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. Mark 14:27-28. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Will you all pray with me? Oh, amazing and awesome God, as we've been worshiping your day, this day, Lord God, we have sung your praises. Our hearts have been lifted by beautiful music. We've been praying to you, Holy One. And now, Lord, we engage your word. Lord God, as we offer worship to you, fill us with your spirit. Excite us to possibilities, that we may be transformation to lead transformation. It's in love for you, Holy One, that we pray. Amen. Well, friends, today we come to the end of what I consider a very challenging message series. This message series has been all about expanding our faith from being a people who not only believe in Jesus as we sang before, but also believe like Jesus. So if it's important to believe like Jesus, let's talk just briefly about what that means. In John 10:10, Jesus uttered these words to a rather hostile crowd. He said, "I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one." And that points to his first belief, which is Jesus believed that he had a partnership with God. And guess what? With Jesus in us alive, can I hear, he lives?
He lives.
With Jesus alive in our heart, then we too have a partnership with God. Something else that shouldn't come as a surprise is that Jesus believed that his prayers had power, power of transformation to display God's glory on this earth. And again, believing like Jesus, our prayers too can have power. Jesus also believed in his superpower. Do you remember that superpower? It wasn't the superpower of his miracles exactly. It was what fed those miracles. It was the superpower of a miracle-making mindset. That even in the midst of turmoil in life, even in the midst of all the obstacles in life, that Jesus could have this mindset where anything is possible. Gosh, we sang that earlier too, didn't we? Yeah, so, and as believers like Jesus, we too can have that miracle-making mindset, even in the midst of the crazy times in our life. Jesus believed that his life had purpose. That seems like that's a, well, duh, Rev Kev. But he did. He believed in it, but he did more than believe that his life had purpose. He lived that purpose. Believing like Jesus, and we also have a Jesus purpose, don't we? And we don't just have the Jesus purpose stored up in here, but we live it out too. If you don't know what your Jesus purpose is, then please gather together with all of us and help us to help you discover your Jesus purpose. Because when you live out your Jesus purpose, then you can realize something else that Jesus believed in, which was his God-given potential. That's what Lori preached about last week. I give God the glory for her preaching last week. Amen. There you go. There you go. She talked about how with Jesus on our hearts, believing like Jesus, we can face any fear that we have that gets in the way of our potential and live out that potential that God has given us. So guess what? We have a sixth element that Jesus believed. And that was that Jesus, when Jesus believed in, when he saw into the future, he believed in possibility. He believed in possibility. And in a moment, I'll talk about what that possibility is. But know this, if you don't hear anything else today, we believe like Jesus, not just believe in Jesus, but believe like Jesus. And we too can believe in the possibilities in our Jesus-centered life. I go on the internet every week and I do searches. Show of hands at people that do searches on the internet. My search engine of choice is Google. And I thought it was interesting this week that when going out to Google, it's like I entered the phrase, where is the best? Where is the best place? And I got all these things to pop up. Where is the best place to eat in Kansas City? Where is the best place to stay? Going broader, we saw where is the best place to live? Where is the best neighborhood to grow up in? I click on a few of those articles, and reading those, they're kind of fun to read, right? Where is the best place? In light of the world events, Newsweek published a Where is the Best Place? Where is the best place to survive a nuclear war in the U.S.? Not so fun to read. I read that and had the same sinking feeling I do when I read about mass shootings or COVID or racial injustice or global warming or any of those things. And I just realized that, you know, I'm glad I have faith in Jesus, working to believe like Jesus, because this world can seem very dark and very, very desolate sometimes, can it? It can be a downer. Do you agree? It makes me want to think back to the good old days when things seemed so much simpler, saying things seemed so much easier, when life was better. And then I take off my rose-colored glasses looking in the past, and I realize there's always been something that has put a dent on my heart. And I'm sure you all could say that too. I hold in my hands a holy Bible, a very compact one. In this Bible, we read the stories of war and violence. We read of hatred and vengeance. And yet, there's God. There's God. In the Old Testament, the root experience that's expressed there, the event through which all really the narratives of the Old Testament wrap themselves around, is about a people who are enslaved and suffering under an oppressive regime. But God, through faith and leadership of Moses, assisted by his brother Aaron and sister Miriam, God led that people, the Hebrews, to freedom. He gave them hope. And friends, they embraced that hope. And friends, they struggled mightily with that hope. But the hope that God gave them allowed them to become free and to become eventually a mighty nation, and thereby hangs other stories. The root experience in the New Testament, of which all the letters and Revelation and all the writings of the New Testament wrap themselves around, is the story of the descendants of those slaves who were now under the oppressive thumb of another world empire, Rome. They were suffering. And it wasn't just suffering because of Rome. It was suffering, as the Apostle Paul said, from enslavement to the principles of this time, the principles of this world. They were an enslaved people, but God put on flesh, arrived in this terrestrial world of ours, and came as Jesus Christ and led people with a new hope. But it was a hope that they struggled with too. Some felt that hope. They were transformed by Jesus Christ. Others wrestled with that hope. And even his followers who followed him in hope were taken aback by Jesus being real about what it means to live in hope. And that is, there are still hard things you have to go through. Be mindful of the words that Kathy shared with us today. Thank you, Kathy. Jesus was trying to be truthful with his disciples. And we had two instances that we find there where he's being truthful. There were a lot. Jesus said, things are going to get drear. There are some things that are going to put a dent in your heart. I'm going to be captured, I'm going to be tortured, and I'm going to be put to death. But that was not the end, was it? Because Jesus said, I will rise after 3 days. Even in the midst of the life that they were living, even in the midst of all their travels and all the struggles that they had, even when following Jesus, Jesus was able to say to them, resurrection is coming. That is resurrection hope. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
He lives. So come on, he lives. There you go, he lives. That's the resurrection hope that eventually the followers of Jesus, his disciples, were able to see after Jesus was resurrected. But they were at least able to look back and say, he was telling us about that all the time. And it just shows what goes on in our lives too. When we're told that Jesus lives, and we start to take it for granted, and then we experience that resurrection, and then we say, well, Jesus has been telling us that the whole time. That's resurrection hope. And bottom line, what that means is that when Jesus looked to the future, he didn't see death, he saw possibilities. And as we move from just believing in Jesus to believing like Jesus, we can too. Now, in this series, we've been talking about different spiritual practices that we can take on to help us to begin to believe like Jesus. And I'm thankful for my friends and colleagues, writer and author Rebecca Simon Peter, and my friend and pastor R.J. Davis, for sharing those spiritual practices with us. Today I'm going to share another one with you, but it's fairly easy. I want you to dream. I want you to dream your future in faith with Jesus as the center of your life. Now keep in mind, just in case anybody has this on their mind, I'm not asking you to write down what you dreamed last night when you're unconscious. That would probably scare me. What I'm asking you to do is dream while you're awake. While you're praying, while you're meditating, while you're just taking a simple moment to take a breath. Begin to dream about what future Jesus has for you. How is your life going to change? How is your family going to change? How is the community around you going to change? What are going to be your new hopes? You know, there's this saying that's out there. It's cliche, but I believe it with all my heart. And that is that Jesus loves us where we are, but Jesus loves us too much to keep us where we are. Jesus is always moving us. So I want to invite you to dream your future, because what the hope is, everyone, is that on October 16th, 2023, you're going to be a different person than you are today. 1 year from today, you're still going to be your lovable selves, but Jesus is going to do a work in your life. What's that going to look like? Dream a little bit. We dream as a church, the leaders in this church. We have a dream. We call that a vision. And you all know this vision by now. I talk about it all the time. We are to connect with the disconnected in a Jesus-centered life. Yay, what a great vision statement. But what the heck does that look like? What does that look like? Let me put it this way. How will that vision change the community of Harrisonville? Why should the community of Harrisonville care about this vision that we have? It's good to flesh that out a little bit, don't you think? My mentor for the last 3 years has been the very same R.J. Davis that you've heard me talk about. We met this week, and we were talking about this vision of connecting with the disconnected in Jesus-centered life, and I was all excited. Woo-hoo! And then I realized that in a form that I had filled out with some paperwork, I put really, it asks you to kind of flesh out that vision a little bit. What does that look like? And I put something down that was really lame. And I'm really ashamed. I'm not even going to share it with you. Thank you, Brian. It was really lame. But because my mentor, RJ, really pushed me, even though I was, he could probably tell that he turned my smile upside down. He pushed me. He said, you know, what you wrote down sounds like a church improvement project. Why should Harrisonville care? Why should the community leaders in Harrisonville care what Harrisonville United Methodist Church has been called to do in the Holy Spirit? See, he didn't deny the vision. He just said, well, how are you going to explain that to people? So I began to dream. And so I want to share with you where I am right now, knowing that this is going to be fleshed out even more, because you're all going to help me. And it goes something like this. This is how I see how Harrisonville changes, how the world changes. People are connected in love with places to go, with people who will listen and remind people that they are loved by them, the listeners, and by God. That this loving connection will be lived out in initiatives to feed a people, body and soul. To find shelter for those who need it. Support our school children and their families. And do so recognizing the dignity of others by not only serving the need, but also building relationships. This loving connection will empower us to make the broken whole. Harrisonville will become known as the town with a heart. Now, we've got some initiatives going on that we're doing here at the church to be a part of that process. You know, we've got a family events team that has these wonderful events, a community events to invite the community to be a part of, to begin building relationships. We've got a trunk or treat happening on the 29th, the day before this town trunk or treat, but it's going to be on the 29th here. But that's just the midst. We've done a lot of fun things together through the work of the family event team. Thank you very much. Kathy's been leading that initiative. And then we've got a family connections small group that Shannon is leading. It's going to have their second meeting on Monday night. And it's reaching out to people so that parents can learn how to be better parents. Grandparents can learn how to be better grandparents. Step-uncles can learn how to be better step-uncles. You know what I'm saying? It's to be there for people and for the kids. And of course, we have the new initiative, The Table, Worship in a Coffee Shop, which will begin a week from Wednesday at 7 p.m. It's going to be amazing. And right here in worship on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, we're all about connecting with the disconnected in a Jesus-centered life. Those are things that we're doing. But you know, we got to lay it on our heart. So we're going to do something right now. Excuse me while I get ready. Say hello, everyone.
Hello.
Now, for what I'm about to do, all of you online, be patient. I hope that you will hear my voice. But this recording is ultimately, I guess I need to point it to me. This recording is ultimately for all of you. So, those of you in this place, follow me. Literally. And just so you know, we're coming back in. Okay. I think my mic...
For those at home, Reverend Pastor Kevin has left the building and is out of microphone range at the moment.
Yeah, you guys... Come on out. There's another door, too. It's because of the bot.
He's come as close as he can, so he's just going to be out of range for this moment. We apologize for those people who are watching online. We'll fill you in on the details when we get back.
All right. Sorry if you hear me in there and I just yelled in your ear. Had a, not quite an argument, let's just say a debate, several years ago with a pastoral colleague, not of my denomination, but we were talking about the sphere of influence of a pastor. And I was told that, you know, as a pastor, that you are to care for your flock, those that come in your church, that you don't have a calling to reach anyone else. And I disagreed. For the founder of our Methodist faith tribe said, the world is our parish. So, you know, church is not just all of us right here. Church is all of Harrisonville. And that is who we are called to connect with as we connect with the disconnected in a Jesus-centered life. So what I would like for everybody to do who's out here, and when you watch this later, folks, do this in your house. Open up a window and yell it out. But I want everybody to face out there. And I want you to repeat after me. We love you, Harrisonville.
We love you, Harrisonville.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And God bless.
God bless.
Believe in the possibility of what Jesus is calling us to do. As we reach out and connect with others, dare to dream. And all God's people said,